Our Father, we're eternally grateful for all that you have done for us. Lord, the work that has been accomplished, that you have done, even tonight, may it, by your Spirit, be quickened to our hearts, that we might see afresh the glory of thy face. Lord, that we may see what you're doing, that we may be a part of that working. Lord, bless us with your presence tonight, the anointing in each one of our hearts, that your word, your will, may be food for our souls. Lord, we ask this all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we looked at what Christ is to each one of us, and I'm sure that we all went out of here with one thing left within our thinking anyway, that in Christ is our full provision. Now, I want to just continue along tonight for a time with this same thought, but of the working of the Holy Spirit to bring all of this into our lives and into the fullness of what God has already done for us. And I want to say a few things, because we're going to be talking in two realms this morning. Brother Michael was speaking in the objective realm. And tonight, as we look at this, we're going to be speaking in the subjective working of God. Everything that is a spiritual working begins in the objective, always in the objective, because all work begins in Christ. Now, it's going to bring it down to a practical working. It's not going to be something that's so far away from us and so spiritual that we cannot be partakers of it. But yet, let me say this, it's not so simple that you can do it in the natural strength. In fact, I will say that everything that God is doing is profound, because it begins in Him and it is worked out by Him. Now, let's look at Philippians in the second chapter, a phrase that I know we've all used. 12th and 13th verses. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we've got to keep this in balance. When I say that, we've got to have the objective and the subjective. And if we don't, in other words, if we don't see the vision and we don't partake of what God is doing and how He's doing it, we can look at the vision all day and it will not bring the reality. It's only the Holy Spirit that brings all that Christ is. In fact, it will frustrate you if you continue to hear Christ is all in all, unless you're willing to take those steps of obedience in the Spirit of God. The 13th verse. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He works in us. We can say this, that the working of God is that inward decision. And then, of course, the outworking of it is the outward obedience. The outward obedience. This brings us down to this place, all of the work being of God. I don't want to take away from that, and don't let that be so lofty in our thinking that it doesn't come down to our walk, because it does. Faith brings everything that Christ is into expression in you as an individual and as the church, as the corporate expression of Christ. Faith attaches you to all that is objective, all that God is in Christ. And He is the one that's filling all in all. Of course, I'm sure that even tonight our minds are very much dimmed to the real revelation. If it was not so, we would be giving ourselves wholeheartedly to it. But it's still very dim what God is really doing. These are wonderful spiritual truths to read about, but everything that God is speaking to us in Christ is no good unless they're willing to be walked out. You just cannot talk about them. You just cannot rejoice in them. The rejoicing comes when you start to walk in them. That's when the rejoicing comes. That's when you experience, and this is what I believe our brother was sharing with us this morning. There must be that experiencing of God. We must move on in this area of all of God's working. Yes, our hearts must be quickened, illuminated. It must possess us, this relationship in Christ, to the place that we are willing to take the next step. And let me emphasize it tonight. I've said it many times, but I want to say it in a different way tonight. Take away from what I have said to bring, I feel, the emphasis of God. I've said that the walk of God is simple, and it is, when you're walking in the Spirit. But there's nothing simple about this walk in the Spirit. Nothing simple about it, because it takes a relationship with God. You cannot sit there in the natural. You cannot rejoice in the revelation and walk in the Spirit. God works in us the will. All right, that's the decision. I'm going to move. And then to do, that means the action. He gives me the ability now to do what He says. Objective, Christ shows me Himself. Here's the part. And He sent the Holy Spirit to work it out in me. He sent the Holy Spirit to work it out in me. That's why I said everything spiritual that we're talking about begins in the objective, which is Christ. Seeing the revelation. It doesn't begin in us. That's what I'm saying. And I might say it three or four different ways tonight before I get through saying it. I trust God will give us a heart to hear, but it doesn't begin in us. If everything was subjective, it would begin in us, and we could work it out, and the only reality of that would be that we are experiencing it. But see, Christianity is objective first. It's outside of us. It's the revelation. And then the Holy Spirit bringing it, what He is outside of us, into expression in us. And when we think about it, when we start to just meditate upon it for a short time, it should quicken our hearts. It should take and bring a warm place, or if we're in love with God, to see the full provision that He has made, and to realize that He can take us out of sin. He can place us in Christ, and that we can find the fullness of why we have been made in Him. And the only thing that hinders this is our own minds when we try to grasp these things and work them out in a subjective way, when we get concepts in our minds and we are not looking at the vision outside of ourselves. What we want to be, doing things for our own enjoyment, even if it's discipline. It's only as we see Him. And I hope that today that we've been left with the awe of seeing Him all in all. Because only at that place can this walk in the Spirit have any meaning. And it's glorious. Because every step that you take, you're taking and finding God. You're finding Christ. You're experiencing Him. That's why I say it's profound. There's nothing simple about it. Now, try to understand me, because all of us are looking for something simple. We don't want it too confounded, to confound our minds. We want things simple. Well, it's not simple when we're talking about a relationship with God. There's nothing simple about God's relationship with us and our relationship with Him, is there? When it comes down to it, when the pure word, as it means simple, there's nothing simple about this. And yet the youngest or the oldest can be partakers of it. But we cannot put it on a place of being simple, because in God there's nothing simple. As I say, I want to restore the real impact of our relationship with God. Sometimes we just want to look at this simple relationship where you tell me what to do and I'll do it. But when we come down to this working of a relationship, and we start to see God for who He is, what He has done, then that demand is put upon us. And the working starts to happen. God's working. We start to see Him. It puts demands upon us. Now, if you haven't seen Him, there's no demands put upon you. You can come in, you're perfectly at ease. But when you see Him, when you start to see Him as far as the Spirit revealing Him to you, this is God's working. There's something created, and that is the desire. The desire. He creates that. The will. Because wills attach to the desire. If I'm going to get active, and obedience means activity, but if I'm going to get active, there must be that which creates in me the will to do, the will to move. That's God. You don't work that up. You don't hear a good message and stir your emotions, stimulate your mind to thinking. I've been looking for a long time a place to use this illustration. I'm going to use it right here. Because I didn't want it to take and bring something that it shouldn't. But when I was down in Puerto Rico, I think it was the last night that I was there, just before we flew out on the following day, I met with a Brother Colon's father. We went down to his house to tell them goodbye, and he had just returned from Minneapolis. He's with some big manufacturing concern down there. They make these refrigerating units for all of these big trucks. I'm sure you've seen them. They cool these great big tractor trailers down. This man had been motivated to the fullest. His mind had been brought to a place. And you can see what the human element can do. And if man can do this, how much more can God do? You say, what did he do? I'll tell you, just a resume of what he had done. This company spent $175,000 for 2 weeks. And they brought their top men from all of their factories to Minneapolis. Real closed session. It was closed for one purpose. They had an expert there. No calls from the outside, no calls from your family, unless there's death in the family. The doors were closed at 9 o'clock on that meeting. And for 2 weeks, they took their units apart, even to the screws. Everything was laid all out. They put that thing back together. They made suggestions. At the end of 2 weeks, they had saved the company $15 million. That isn't what brought my attention. Here's what brought my attention. He came back, and the company says, every week you're going to meet for 4 hours behind closed doors, and you're going to continue on in this project. And he was enthused about it. 4 hours. Given. I said, are you willing to give 4 hours to God in that same dedication? Now, I'm saying tonight, if we see Christ, it's going to put a demand upon us. Without a doubt, I can stimulate your mind. Men's mind have been stimulated, and you're no different. But I don't want to stimulate your mind. I don't think there's a brother sitting here who wants to stimulate your mind. We can motivate you. But only the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to do the work. Sure, we can get you to where you'll gather together on back of closed doors and you'll pray for 4 hours. But if there is no objective, if there's no revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's no burning desire and control, and that desire to move, to will to do, sure, you can say this and you can say that and you can send men to the missionary field. But you can end up on skid row spiritually. Because you have not seen the revelation. You have not been motivated in life. You have not moved in life. See, life demands obedience. And that's why the first is the work He works in you both to will and to do. That's the Holy Spirit working in each one of us, the will. There's only one way He can do that. That is by revealing to you Christ, to where you are wholly given over. You are possessed. I use that word. I mean, we understand what it means, I think. It controls us. We live for one thing, for Christ. We heard this morning that everything is predicated upon one thing, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is predicated on His person, what He is. Everything begins and ends in Him. He controls our motives, our desires. That is, if we're His children. Sometimes I think we come in and we have been told a gospel that's not really the gospel. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He also said that there's a narrow way. There's a narrow door. Very few there are that find it. Of course, we don't like that because that excludes somebody. But God doesn't exclude anybody in the objective work at Calvary. Everybody is included. Now, understand what I'm saying. His work has been done that everybody can enter in. But the gate is narrow. Faith is the only thing. And that means the desire, the activating of my will to enter on into the glories of Christ Jesus and to experience Him. It's in the crisis. It's in those places that you can't move in your own ability that you wait and see the glory of God. And how many of us have done it? I'm sure that many of us sitting around here tonight can give a testimony that in that pressing time where you could not do it, God has revealed Himself. And you knew Christ. I don't care how you knew Him because it doesn't make any difference. He's everything. If it was peace, He revealed Himself to you. If it was healing, He became that. Ever what it is, it doesn't make any difference. A lot of times, as we heard, we're looking to God for the things. And all the time He's wanting to reveal Himself. All of the time He wants to show us Himself. And yet the Apostle Paul, in his walk with God and in the Spirit of God, you can see Him, and it would discourage some of us tonight to feel that this is what it really means to go through these experiences, maybe not partaking of all that we want and all that we think that God will give us, but to know the presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of it all. I can tell you tonight, brother, from practical experience, practical working out, nothing simple about it. But it's those places that stay with you. It's those realities that grip your life. That when you know Him, I can tell you, when you get to that place, it isn't Him removing something. It's not Him taking the pain away. It's Him revealing Himself to you. That's all that matters. You can take the pain. Now you say, well, this is not the type of gospel that I'm used to. And I'm not saying tonight, I'm not trying to stand here tonight and tell you that God does not heal. I'm trying to show you the other area that God wants to reveal Himself to us in Christ Jesus in the fullness of Himself. You'll find out that it's not healing that you're looking for. It's Jesus. Without it, we're full of nothing. Full of desires, full of habits. Going nowhere, realizing nothing. God is filling all in all, and only as we experience Him, the Holy Spirit is here to bring this reality into expression. Both to will and to do. That's what we're looking at. The will and the doing, the working out of it. Without the will, the desire to put my will into action, you'll never see the obedience, the carrying out of the purpose of God, the experience. Obedience brings me into that place. And when I say obedience, or I'm talking about a step of obedience, this begins in the heart. This begins in the heart. It's not always first seen in our walk. It's felt in our heart. And I'm talking about spiritually now. I'm not talking about any feelings that we may have in this physical body. I'm talking about that knowing, that feeling in the Spirit. It begins there as we know Him. And then ever what action we have to take comes afterwards. But He works in us. The will. And then for the doing of that. Now, just look at the important part of the working of God in this time, because everything that Jesus Christ came to do and He has done, it is accomplished, it's finished. There is that finality about it. And we like to rejoice in it. And brother, I'm not going to take that away from you. Continue to rejoice if you're seeing. But if you're rejoicing and you're seeing it, there's one thing that's going to take place. The walking out. If what you see, that does not demand your all, you have not seen anything. You have heard something, but you haven't seen anything. I know that comes right against a lot of our thinking. Because we think that we can make heaven our home. That's our goal. Let me say right now, that is not your goal. Heaven is not your goal. Christ is your goal. You name it tonight, what it is, that's not your goal. We get on different movements. We get on different thinkings. We have different needs. We put all our emphasis right there, but you miss it. You miss it completely. Christ is all in all. Objective. But the Holy Spirit will bring that subjectively into expression in each one of our lives, if we let Him. And He works. See, we have to rebel. We have to turn away. Our desires become larger than His. The goal, as I say and I repeat it again tonight, when you see something, when you see Christ, it must demand your all. That's the revelation that we're talking about. That's the vision that we continue to press, that sometimes we get tired of hearing. Vision, vision. It's Christ. But when you truly see, when it breaks down into your heart, it demands your all. We could say it this way, you've heard it said before, you'll never be the same. Oh yes, you'll take certain steps, maybe like you've been doing, but when somebody's looking at you day after day, they're seeing you going in an entirely different direction. A lot of us would like to sit here tonight and say, now don't you judge me. don't have to judge you. You judge yourself. You're so blind that you can't see that your life is showing which direction that you're going. And you're condemning somebody else for judging you. Brothers, our lives are headed in one of two directions. When we see Christ, when that revelation from the Father breaks into our hearts, it demands all. Now, we may not know the whole working out of it because He's still working in us, and the Holy Spirit's been given to work all that He is in us. So there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But the desire, the aim of your life is one thing. That's Christ. That I may know Him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. He brings that down to where everything that we're looking at, that I may know Him, that I may experience Him. We're not looking to get out of situations. We're looking to know God in the situation. Now, we like a Christianity that gets us out of all of this. Because if you don't believe you want this kind of Christianity, listen to your prayers the next time you pray. Lord, do this for me. Lord, how about going and taking care of this? And Lord, how about going there and healing that person in the hospital? Lord, how about saving this soul for me? Now you say, well, that's what we're supposed to pray. It is. I'm afraid if you look at the Word of God, you'll find out there's something far deeper in this. You've been looking at yourself and what you want to do. And what you want from God is what God wants from us. We have been created for Him. He hadn't been created for us. All I'm trying to do is get that psychology that you've got worked up, and philosophy also, the way you're going to do it, out of the way, and let's get down to the real working of truth, because that's the place that God's working in truth. Cutting away all of these areas. We can get a philosophy on anything. And then the working out of it, we implement that with the natural working, and it can be spiritual in its outlook, but it'll never bring you to the end result. The Spirit is the only one that can bring you to the end results. And oh, we don't think the Spirit knows what He's doing. Let me give you an indication of what I'm saying so that each one of us will understand. The Spirit is God. I'm sure we're all aware of this. And He has come to build the church. That means to fit us in together to where we can fully comprehend and apprehend all that Christ is. Because Christ is in His church. We are the body of Christ. Now the Holy Spirit's here to work at, to fit us in. Our concepts is so many times, and we express it in different ways. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to think like you. How many times have you heard that? You're not going to make me like you. Wait a minute. Have you ever talked to the Holy Spirit what He's doing? I understand that He's making us all like Christ. We have a belligerent attitude. We don't want to be made like each other. And that's exactly what God's doing. Making us like Christ. And if that's true, then we're all going to be giving the expression, the same expression. No, we're not going to dress alike. You're still going to have your face. I'm going to know you when I see you. But see, there's something fuller in this working of God. It isn't the flesh whereby we know each other. But now God has brought us into the realm of knowing Him by the Spirit. And we are to know each other in this realm. Now, let's look at another area. We don't believe that the Spirit of God is really doing what the Word of God says. You know why I say that? It's because most of us say, I'll just do what I want for God my way. And so there's no real unity as such. And yet we say, yes, we have the unity. We can make excuses about the unity. But see, the Holy Spirit, if He is working in your life, He's working in my life, He's doing the same thing. He's leading us to the same goal. He's not confused, as many of us are confused. God never changes. He doesn't have to sit down and think this out like some of us might have to get down and sift and sort a little bit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to sift and sort God's plan out. He knows what He's doing. The question is, are we sensitive to Him? Are we responding? When He works in us the will, are we willing to activate and obey the working out? In whose power? In His power. Not our power. No, we're not moving any longer in what originates in us. I hope you get that difference. It's no longer what I want to do for God. It originates in God. He is the one that works in me the will. And now to move on. Because see, God is going to have a people that are set aside, sanctified. He sanctified Himself. That means He set Himself aside for the purpose of God. A body has been created that I might do Thy will, O God. He sanctified Himself that we might be sanctified, set aside. Where are we set aside? We are set aside in Christ. That's the work that's done. We are accepted in Christ. I know we still think that we're accepted in some of our good works, because you get right down and start to punch you just a little bit. You say, well, I'm not too bad. I'm not doing everything so bad. See, so that's exactly what you're thinking. You're thinking, I am accepted on what I do. If you're accepted in the Beloved and you're controlled by the Spirit, you will do certain things. I'm not taking away of the doing. But the doing will come out of a relationship with God. The doing will not be doing things to be accepted. That's the law. And a lot of times we move right into this realm. And when we start to probe around a little bit, we start to defend ourselves. Well, I'm not too bad. I talked to a woman today that some of you know here. She hadn't been here for many years. She went the way of the world, and hadn't been too many, a couple of years ago, that she stood right on this property and told me exactly what she was and what she was doing. Today, she says, you have no business in saying what you're saying to me. I said, God is still concerned for you. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. The way of the transgressor is hard. She was telling me how bad she was having it. No peace, all unrest. I said, you're just in sin. I'm not so bad. But see, when we look at somebody like this that has given themselves over to the world and all that the world is doing to satisfy their own desires, we can agree with this. But now when we start to probe in, when the Word of God starts to find us out and we start to make defense, we're different. We're no different if we're trying to make defense. There is no place that you can claim anything that starts in you. It must start in God. That's faith. Faith cannot move unless it starts in Him. There is no faith, in fact, unless it starts in Him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. You know that by heart. This talk about the working out of that principle. That's what makes it faith, because it originates in Jesus Christ. And it's the only thing that can bring us back to the fullness of God. In our obedience to Him. Let's look at John for a moment. Because the Lord speaks to us about the Spirit of God that He's going to send. The Comforter. The one that's going to come alongside. In fact, you, as we have said often, and I'm going to repeat it again tonight, the New Testament, from the very beginning, when John appeared on the scene, if we want to take it from the beginning, there in Matthew, just before Jesus, he was the forerunner, but just before Jesus came on the scene, and he was there working, of course, and living, but I'm saying before he came and was baptized by John, moving into that place that God had designed, that approval of him, the Holy Spirit coming upon him in his baptism. God revealed his purpose even when Jesus came to John. We miss this purpose so often. And the working that I'm talking about is to get all that Christ is into you. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if we go back and look at it again, I'm afraid that the gospel that we preach is a gospel of gimmies, a gospel of our salvation in the wrong way. But you'll see that the gospel that's proclaimed in Matthew and right on down is the gospel of the kingdom. Because we think that's different. That's the gospel that Jesus preached. The place that Christ rules supreme. The place where we can see God's great salvation. His deliverance is only in Himself. And this is what He is saying here. And so when John came on the scene, he proclaimed these areas of truth. The purpose of God. Can we hear it? There comes one greater than I that will do what? What's he going to do? He must have saw a little more sometimes than what we look at. You didn't come on too strong here, so let me just repeat it for everybody's thing. He's going to baptize you with the Spirit. That's what Jesus is going to do. See, God's purpose is going to be worked out. On the day of Pentecost, Peter wasn't left without a foundation, a warning already, a prophetic utterance. This is that. He knew what was happening. Sometimes we're so naive that we don't like to declare the truth of it. We don't like to see the absoluteness of what God is doing. What is absolute? In fact, when you look at God, there's no variableness of turning. There's not even a shadow of turning in God. But of course, we feel that God's love, and that's the instrument that we continue to look at. We think that when we look at God's love and we speak about God's love, that leaves room for me to do what I want to. Never happens. God's love leaves room for God to conform you to Christ. That's all. God's love speaks to us from Calvary. God's love speaks to us from the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That's where the love of God speaks to us. That God is absolute. That everything that He has said will come to pass. Hallelujah. When He came, the work began in the subjective. And for us not to submit to the Spirit of God, for the working in us, the will, and the working out of to do is resisting and grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Sixteenth chapter, 13th verse. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. We know truth tonight, not as facts. We know truth as a person tonight. Young people, every one of you sitting here tonight, none of us, young or old, but I speak to all of us. Sometimes we sit here time and time again. If we knew the plan of God, we could not sit here indifferent to what God is doing. We could not sit here indifferent. What a demand God's love puts upon us. We can't just sit if we really see the love of God. God knows where to find us out any place. He can find you out right here tonight. I've sat as you're sitting right here in some of the same places that you're sitting. Not in this building, but in other places. Listening, and all of a sudden the love move in your heart to where it breaks you. Where you can cry, holy. The working of the Holy Spirit to build us into what God is doing in Christ Jesus. He's going to lead us into all that Jesus is. He's going to lead us into all truth. He's not going to make us a walking dictionary to where we have all the facts. Most of us, this is our realm of thinking. If we don't have all the facts, we can't speak. We can only be what we are in Christ, brother, at the place you're at the place of His working. And that's what He wants you to do, witness of that reality. Not the reality of what you think God is, and not you walking in your own precepts and concepts, but you walking in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The objective becoming subjective. That's what we're talking about. Can He do it? He said He could do it. Let's look back to the book of Acts. I know these scriptures are those that you've gone over probably a thousand times or more. But I find them sweet to the taste. We know the first part of the working here as far as when the Holy Spirit came. We look at some of the manifestations. And I sure don't want to take away anything that the Holy Spirit's doing. I don't care what He's doing. Anything He's doing is all right because it's God. But why did He come? That's what I want to know. Why did He come? A lot of times we zero in on how He came. Well, I know you've got to come to that place. But why did He come?
To reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and
judgment. That's in you. He came to manifest Christ in you. This promise is to the believer. This promise is not to the world. But the Holy Spirit in us, the same as it was in the Son of God, reproved the world. But the promise is to you, to your children, to those that are far off, as many as believe. This is the promise. This is who the promise is to. Why did He come? He came to inhabit the church. He came to bring everything that Jesus said is finished into expression in a many-membered body. And He's not failing. He's not failing. And that should... You may look around with your eyes and say, well, I don't agree. We can disagree all we want to. But I say tonight that God has a church tonight without spot or wrinkle. He has not failed in any degree. He has not failed. Because, see, we don't see what the church is. If we feel that it's failed. If we think that it's imperfect. Oh, yes, we may sit here tonight and the demands are not upon us. The desire to move. The working of His controlling us is not there. Everything is not motivated by one thing. Christ Himself. We may be there at that place. But what God is doing, He has a people that do have a desire that's 100% for Him. He has a people who have a heart. Because, see, what He is doing, He's doing in a spiritual vein. It's originating in God and it's working out in a many-membered body. We need spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. And we need to get down to the spiritual realm to where we're not so seeing so many gray areas. Because how can you labor in God? And how can God labor through you unless you are a vessel that is completely yielded to Him and sees what He's doing? In the book of Acts, scripture probably that's been much misunderstood, used wrongly, all of these other things. But tonight is still. And it will bring us to God's results. This don't throw it out. This don't discredit it in any way. Because when Peter uttered these words, he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." See, we cannot move tonight in this realm. The inner working cannot be accomplished outside of the indwelling of God's Spirit. Do we understand what it means? I know we use words, and these words are for communication. But words stop at a place. It takes the Spirit of God to drive those words on in to where they become life. Just like Jesus said, "My words are life. They're spirit and they are life." We can talk. We can take and tickle each other's minds. We can agree and say amen to concepts. But there's another thing to move on into that realm of the Spirit to where we are experiencing, we're knowing God. And that's the only place that we can say tonight is subjective in expression. There's no fruit. We need to check in and see what we are abiding in. We need to see if that anointing is there. We quote those things, "We need no man to teach us. We have an anointing that teaches us." We better understand what that means. Because if He's teaching us, then we're moving in that one Spirit. That's why I think the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter says there's one body. There's one Spirit. There's not two. Now endeavor to keep the unity. That's where we stop, right there. What we mean is, we want to keep the unity. The unity is already here, brother. He said, keep it now. Endeavor to keep the unity of what? The unity of the Spirit. It's the unity of the Spirit that we are to enter in and keep. We like to keep a unity where we don't disturb each other and we can still stay together. But are we together? We're only together as we're moving in the life of God. We're only together as we are in this subjective working of the Spirit of God. That's the only place that there is unity, in the life of God. And that's where we're going to start to know the fellowship. That's where we're going to start to understand and enjoy and start to move on in up to more of a people that are directed and controlled by one thing. Christ. When you say that to many people, when you say Christ is the answer, I've heard that. Give me something else where I can move in. I found that there's not a person that I've met on the face of the earth that can tell me what that means. But I've also found that when I have found myself, even with brothers praying over me, that God, right in the midst of it, the answer to prayer and many other things, God has revealed, and I know Him. Experience Him. And that's what each one of us can do. It's not in us comprehending God in terms. It's us moving in that life and knowing Him, experiencing Him for Himself. If He's filling all in all, our minds are going to be so exercised that we can discern good and evil. We're not motivated or moved on or living a life eating of the things which are good and evil. Now, let me say right there to just kind of stir some of you up. A lot of you right now judge things whether they're good or evil. This is not so bad. What's the matter with this? Do you realize what you're doing? You're not living from the tree of life. You're not living from the anointing. You're not living from the direction of the Holy Spirit. You're living from a concept of degrees of good and evil of which you have created in your own mind rather than walking in the Spirit of God. Now let that speak to every one of us, because I'm sure there's a degree of it in our thinking and most everybody that's sitting here. We do certain things because of our prejudgment, whether they're good or evil. We need to do things in faith, and that is because they have originated in God. We are walking in a life. Abiding in the anointing. The person of God, the Holy Spirit, has come, realized what has happened. Give Him His reverence tonight. Sometimes we don't reverence the Holy Spirit. We need to reverence. He's God. Give Him His place. He can be grieved, brother. And the only thing I can say, if you're not sensing, I'm talking in the spiritual realm, not in the physical feeling realm, but in the spiritual realm, if you are not knowing, then wait upon God and get it clear until you do know. Because God's not playing games with any of us. You all know this. Sometimes I think we don't fully know it. But God isn't here playing games with us. Sometimes we go along and we argue the case. You know, our case. And we say, you know, well, I don't hear God. I can't seem to communicate like you do. What's the matter with me? God is not a respecter of persons tonight. He knows how to communicate with every one of us. Is there anything that's keeping or clogging up the communication? Have you been able to sift and sort your feelings from the voice of God? Have you spent time? Have you learned what the voice of God really means? Have you taken time with God? Are you so taken up with yourself and trying to figure out your problems and what you're going to do rather than walking in the Spirit and enjoying God? The promise is to you and to your children. See, we go right on down. I can take us very speedily to the book of Revelation, and we can see that the Spirit of God is there. Those that have an ear, what are you going to listen for? What the Spirit. Who was walking in the midst? Who was in the midst of the candlesticks? Huh? What's the word say? He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He that has an ear. He that wants to hear. And those of us that see other than Christ as Lord, as all in all, as the kingdom of God. Any term that you want to put on it tonight that's in keeping with His, the Godhead. Because He is the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is in your midst. He is where God is in control. He is God. Anything other that's motivating your life, that's controlling you, you're missing the mark. There is no other plan. I wish that I could stand tonight to tell you. The reason I wish that is because it would console you. And when we stand like this to tell you that there's only one way that God, sometimes it gets us disturbed. We say, it's too hard. It's not too hard. We have full provisions. You can't do it on your own. He came to work the will to do His good pleasure in every one of your life. There's not a one of you that can say it's too hard. I don't care how simple or how profound your problem is, your situation. He is sufficient in it to bring all that Christ is into bearing in your life and into expression in it. But the minute we stop, start to look at ourselves, start to figure it out in our minds, we've lost the battle. If there is a battle. And I imagine there is a battle when you start to battle it in your minds. You battle it back and forth. Reason. Sure is a battle going on, but not in God. When you're waiting on God, there's no battle going on, brother. Will He answer? Every answer is found in Christ. Frustrating, isn't it? No, brother, we're in love. You don't want to find an answer anyplace else. Can I find one answer outside of Him? No. There's no answers outside of Jesus Christ. Full provisions. To see the plan of God. To see the glory of it. To realize that we are not left comfortless. to see the difference tonight of how God worked in the old and how He brings the reality of Himself in the new. Is to see all of the difference between life and those that were struggling within their own human bodies and emotions. Just don't be caught there tonight. Continuing to struggle. He has made these provisions. They are there for us. And if you have not experienced what God has for you, and that's life, that's what He came to give you. He did not come to bless you as such. I'm not saying we're not going to be blessed, because we're blessed in Him. In fact, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. But see, that's another working. He didn't come just to bless you. The blessings is that when we move in Christ, we can ask what we desire, because our desires will only be one place. That's why we can ask that. What you desire, you can ask God for. He's working all things to His end purposes, His will that is being done. And that's why tonight we say, well, you know, God understands. And you've heard me say this too. I found out that God doesn't understand. When I start to say God understands in certain things and I'm not waiting on God to give me the answer, if I am lacking in knowledge of it, and I start to say, you know, well, God understands. I'm only saying things that will drive me farther and farther away. God does not understand. Not what you're talking about. God doesn't understand enough to give you a place to walk in a wide path. He doesn't understand that. God understands my heart. Yes, I know He's the trier of the heart. But He also knows that if the heart is set upon Him, it must bring forth a manifestation of Him. Again, a truth. True spirituality is expressed in oneness. Not the oneness that you can manufacture in your mind, but the oneness that is expressed in the Godhead. When Jesus said, "The Father and I are one," and when He prayed the prayer, "Father, make them one as we are one," that's the type of oneness that I'm talking about that the Holy Spirit brings. Not a oneness of what you think. Not an agreement. The agreement comes when we do. We can never start from a place of agreeing. We start at a place of life. Follow it out, brother. As we do, we understand. This is life in God. This is not some club tonight that we're meeting and we're agreeing and voting on what we believe. We're meeting in the life of God. Now the life of God will take us on to know Him. It's because we have life. Because we do His will. That we start to experience and know His teaching. You cannot agree upon it. A lot of times we try to. In fact, we try to find fellowship in this place of agreeing to whether we agree. We wrestle and fence, if I might say so. I got you. With the Word of God. But then you got spiritual. That's spiritual fellowship. That's not spiritual fellowship. Spiritual fellowship is when we've already been walking in that we're talking about. We're experiencing it. And now we can turn and rejoice and fellowship in that we have been walking with the Lord. We have been experiencing Him. That's where your spiritual fellowship comes from. This other may be necessary, and I'm not taking away from it. We need to admonish each other. But admonishment is not fellowship. We might term it fellowship, but admonishment is admonishment. Correction is correction. And there's a time for all of that, right? We don't like it. It's grievous sometimes, but it's a place for it. Because God doesn't want us to perish as the rest of the world is going to perish. That's what He says. That's why He corrects us. That's why He trains us. So this don't despise that working of God, but this don't label that as fellowship. Fellowship is when you've experienced Christ, I've experienced Christ, and now we can rejoice in what we're experiencing in Him. Not what we're going to. That's one thing on down the line. And I know there's fullness up a line. There's more than there is tonight that God has for us. In fact, if we can only see, Father, we turn loose a lot of the things. And I don't know how much things we need to turn loose with our hands, but there's a lot of things in our minds that we need to turn loose of. Concepts, precepts that need to be turned loose of so that we can move on into, and if I might use the word here rightly, the simplicity that's in Christ. In a relationship. It's not conniving. It's not dealing with God. It's not making deals with God. None of us makes deals with God. Who do we think we are that we can make a deal with God? Huh? Sometimes I wonder with our thinking. But God is patient. And we need to be patient with one another. There's no question about that. But we need to have some of these things cleared up in our thinking. The revelation. That thing that thrills us tonight needs to find a walking out in our pathway. Our lives needs to speak of it. And it cannot be accomplished outside of the working of the Holy Spirit of God. The control of God in your life. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts. As much as we'd like to say, don't I enter any place into it? The will and the activity of your members. God created you with that ability to respond to Him. Let's go back to some very simple scriptures. Where'd you turn to? Turn to John 3. They're just about as simple, I think. I don't know whether we know what it means to be born of the Spirit or not. Do you feel we do? In the 7th verse, do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it wishes. You hear the sounds of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's go back up to the John 3. 3. Last part, Jesus said, answered and said unto him, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember what he's saying. Because we get it up with an experience or something. You must be born. What does that mean? We know what it means to be born when a baby comes into the world. Now he says, you must be born again. You've already been born once. Now you've got to have a new birth. That's simple, isn't it? Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is an educated man. Now, we're above this, but are we? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. You were born in the flesh. Now you must be born again. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's where we start. That's where we start. We cannot even see the kingdom of God until we start there. And all of us would agree, I'm sure. You must be born. We've heard that so many times and we use it. Do we know what it really means? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And then you go back over to the 8th chapter of Romans and you start to read there what it tells you. You can start to see that everything is in God's hands. Hallelujah. This shouldn't give us any of us despair. I mean, if we got wrong concepts in our minds and wrong thinking, brother, this is time just to say, let her go. I'm not going to think any longer in it. I want what God has. The revelation, Jesus Christ, the vision before me. God's got to work it out. Go through all of the working, and I'm not going through all of that tonight, but as you get on down into the 8th chapter, and we've touched on it so many times, but again tonight, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a new law, a law of life. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. We speak about repentance many times, and we oftentimes going on through to see the fullness of what it does, we fail to see what repentance may be, what it may be. In its simplest form, repentance is definitely a change of mind. Now, there's much more to it than that, but I mean, we fail to bring that out sometimes, but it is. It's a change of mind. It's not looking any longer at the natural. It's turning and looking to God. If you're not doing that, you haven't repented. Repentance is, as I say, it's more than that. It's a clearing of yourself. It's a whole heart attitude. But it also is a change of mind. A mind now that's set upon God. Not set upon ourselves. Not set upon this world. Set upon a heavenly kingdom. That's why Abraham could say that he passed on through his inheritance because he looked for a city. Why did he look for a city? Because what I'm saying tonight, repentance, brings me to a place that my mind is not upon this earth. I don't mind earthly things. My affections are not here. We heard it in Colossians, right? Third chapter. If you've what? Been born from above. Isn't that what it's saying? That's the Spirit. Then what are you supposed to do? Set your affections. In other words, a change of mind. A yielding of our members. I know this may seem elementary to us, but with this, with every step of obedience, God, the Holy Spirit, working tonight, we trust to give us a desire. Because if you don't have a desire, you'll never take a step of faith. But a desire to have more than what you have. To move and more than what you know right now. And that's what he will do. The law could not do it. It was weak through the flesh. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We like to follow the Spirit, but it's not a following the Spirit. It's, you see the word used in the Scriptures, in. I don't know how many times it's used. And we like to, as we come in, we get terminology. We like to say, Lord, do this for me. But actually, unless you are in union with Him, and you are moving in the life of God. He is life. The Spirit is life. You're moving in life. You're moving in union with God. You're not moving separate from God. You're not receiving anything separate from Jesus. A lot of times we like to separate all of this, and I'm not taking away from the persons in the Godhead. But when Jesus said, me and the Father will come and sup, is when the Holy Spirit came. God is going to bring the reality of all that He is. Some of these things our minds can't quite grasp tonight. And a lot of people have tried to define them and they've gone off in error. But I will say tonight, there's certain of these things we must experience rather than trying to explain. When Jesus Christ said that the fullness of the Godhead, or the Apostle Paul said this, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily, and you are complete in Him, that's awful hard to put into any natural terms because there's nothing natural that we can relate it to. So you tell me how you're going to relate it. You tell me how you're going to explain it. The only way that you can do is to go to some book and get some man's explanation. But I say tonight, go to the Spirit of God and walk it out, and you'll find some more of the reality in God. And you'll still be able to see that there's three persons in the Godhead, but there's a working of union in that Godhead that is perfect. And that same perfection is being worked in us. Father, make them one as we are one. A union. That truth tonight would grasp us. The will to do, it would change us. It would change us in our prayer time. What we pray for. It would make us active. You've heard people say, put feet on your prayers. You would start to pray, Lord, make me the answer. Make me the answer. Work in me. Lord, open my eyes that I can see more clearly. You'd not be governed by the things around you. You'd govern the things around you. Too much? Is that too much force? You don't think that you can govern the things around you? You should be in control. If God is in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you should not be affected by anything or any circumstances. You should be affecting them. And if you can't affect them, don't be there. Some of us feel stronger than angels that are sent. Sometimes we're not sent, but we're there. And you found yourself there, and you don't know what's happening. You come away discouraged. The reason you came away discouraged, God didn't tell you to go there. You shouldn't be there. You say, does God do things like that? He sure does. If you're moving in union with the Spirit, it's not listening to a little voice out there leading you. It's moving in the life of God. But if He is present in you, and you feel that urging to go, you should affect the place that you go to. If you're not affecting it, you won't agree, but it's affecting you. Either you're affecting it, or it's affecting you. Either you're affecting the world around you, or it's affecting you. And some of us are not scared enough that when we shouldn't be there, we don't like to be looked down upon, so we'll present ourselves. Brother, and I'll tell you, there's places that I'm afraid to be, and I just don't go. You afraid? Yes, afraid. You know why I'm afraid? Because God hadn't told me to be there. And when God hadn't told me to be there, I'm afraid. I don't want to venture out there. I don't want to be there. I'm no match for it. But when God tells you to be there, that's a different matter. Now, this is for the working. We've got to have a reverence of this life that God has worked, that He is working in us. He has accomplished, but He's working in us. And we're being conformed to that image. Brethren, I won't take any more of our time tonight. I know I've said so much here, and I'm sure that you might have questions in your own heart. Trust that the Holy Spirit, if there are questions in our heart, that He can give us those simple answers to whereby we can get into the complicated working of life. But I don't want to weary us. But I do want to say this. What God has done is done. It's finished. What the Holy Spirit is doing is not yet finished. But He's working all things to where Christ is all in all. Are we a part of that working? Are there areas tonight that God has spoken to you about to where you start to see this relationship between you and God to where we can move on? Because we're not going to move on past our relationship in union with the Spirit. If we're going to move together, it's going to be because each one of us are moving in union with the Spirit. You can't fit one natural member into the body of Christ. Just don't work. It's a spiritual work. Do you have any questions tonight before I sit down? I've heard some of you say, you know, I'd like to ask questions, but, you know, we're all in this big room. Just think tonight, we're on a Wednesday night, we're sitting at home here. So that's where we're at, one big family. If there's any real questions in your mind, it's not clear. God bring truth to us that enable us to go out of this place tonight to where we can move in faith. That's what we're desirous of doing. We're not desirous of pushing anybody down, but we need to move in faith. And we need to encourage one another as we see the day approaching that we can move in faith. Now, is there any area that you do not understand that has been brought here tonight that could be cleared up by me or other brothers here that could help us? Because that's what we're here for, to exhort, to encourage one another. Yes?
God was supposed to will
and
to do.
Right.
What is going to hinder us from making this all the
God? What hinders us? Us. If we've got to respond. The desire is there, but I mean for the desire, the will to do is may be there. But you know yourself, you can will to do something but never do it. Right? How many times have any of us caught it that way? Right? Now he also gives us the ability that we need to do. But still, you have been made in that particular way whereby you can respond. You can refuse. In other words, if what you're saying, we had no choice, but we have a choice. You have a choice to put your will into action. If we didn't, Adam would have never happened. He couldn't. And we create some monster of a God. But see, we have been created for God, and this working in us, and God making us the way we are, is for His glory, and it's going to work out for His glory, even though sin entered in. Much more grace is going to abound, whereby God's purpose is going to be worked out with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I respond to God, and that means something. God doesn't have a bunch of puppets. So definitely we have that area of choice in it. He's working. You may have the desire tonight to say, yes, I want to go on. I can't go any other way but the spiritual way. How many hindrances will come tomorrow? How many choices will come for you to pay? You know, whether you take the right step or not. And it's not only you, it's everybody sitting there.
So, I think you may make mistakes,
I would say so. If I might, of course, this might cloud our thinking a little bit. This don't make room and worry about the mistakes. The scripture says a righteous man may fall 7 times but get back up. You see what I'm saying? That's why, just don't worry about the mistakes. We may make some mistakes. In fact, all of us may make some mistakes. If we are looking for a place to where our mistakes can carry us in, we're wrong. But if we make a mistake, we have an advocate with the Father. Right? Okay, this is the thing. We need to have a positive place in God. If we do something, if we do make a mistake, if we do grieve the Holy Spirit, we have a place that we can come. And that can be taken away. We can know that. We can know that Christ is our Lord. But we do have this place of choice. Yes. Well, let me ask you this in expounding on it. The church is the body of Christ. True? That's members that are connected to the head, that are moving in Christ. God looks at us in Christ. If we're in Christ, we are created in Christ unto every good work. If we are moving in union with God, we are moving in faith. So at any time, what God is doing is perfect. God has not made provisions for two churches. He has not made provisions for two classes of Christians. This don't look at the mistakes of man. This look at Jesus Christ, because that is the thing that will be changing us. He's not finished with us. He's still working on us. That in our natural mind says that we are imperfect. Right? That's what continues to grab our minds. But just look at it in God, if we can, to see what He is doing and what He says about it. Because He looks at each one of our hearts, and He looks at the response. He looks at the direction. Some of us, we may judge wrongly because we do not judge the heart. And yet we'll use that expression, "You do not know my heart." But if we look at our hearts long enough, our hearts are moving in the direction of God. If we're going to judge, this judge spiritually. Paul said we can all judge. The spiritual man judges all things. We do not condemn as such. We do not judge for a final judgment or to press people down. But all God's ways are judgment. And that is to lift us up to a higher plane in God. So, I mean, to look at the church as perfect, we must see that they are in Christ. And to see that they are functioning under the direction of the Holy Spirit. That means that they're without spot and they're without blemish. He's going to present a church holy to Himself. It's how we view Christ. Too long we have looked at man and his imperfections. And we judge men on what they're doing. We make expressions in our, we make places in our own minds for people that are imperfect. We create special doctrines to fit them and fit them in. All I can say at this point is, just leave the fitting in to God. And if we are in this move in the life that God has given us, and if we're moving in the Spirit of God, now I say tonight that we're moving in the only place that you're talking about, and that is a place of perfection. Can I use the natural illustration that we all can see? We'll probably not take it, but let me use it anyway. A child, when it comes into this world, the minute that it comes in and it is breathing, it's perfect. At 2 years old, it's perfect. It's not mature. It's not moving. It's perfect. At 10 years old, it still has life. It's perfect. And that's at 10 years old, it's, unless something's wrong with it. Tonight, we look at perfection as the end. Perfection can be at the beginning. We're looking at perfection by the definition of man, rather than by the revelation of God to our hearts. I can't say too much more than that, Greg, because that's in the realm that we're talking about. We've got to talk with spiritual terms, and only the spiritual man can understand these terms. So, I mean, I can't explain. I can't get Webster's Dictionary out here tonight and explain it to you. I can't come up with another philosophy. To me, I see the church as perfect. God sees the church in the Word as perfect. But it's different than what we are trying to fit it in. So what we're trying to do does not give us the freedom to move. And it always gives us an unsurety of what we see, rather than the confidence to go ahead and fellowship in what God is doing. Does that have any help to you? What you're... It's in the spiritual realm, and all I can say is the areas that I've tried to share with you. It definitely is an area tonight that in any place, in other words, Jesus Christ could come at any moment, and He would find a church without spot or without wrinkle. The early church was looking at Him to return at any moment. Were they ready? Were they perfect? We've got to allow the spiritual working to come to a place that we let God take care of some of these things. We have a responsibility to God in the working out. And that's what we need to really look at. Are we responding? Is our heart right towards God? Are we obedient in what the Spirit of God, not what everybody's telling us to do, what the Spirit is telling us, what the anointing is directing us to do? And realizing that the anointing of God is not building 10 different churches. It's building one church. And it's worldwide. It's being expressed in local expressions. And there's a tremendous working going on, and God has His people tonight. And if we had eyes to see, we could go any place in the world and we could see God working in some degree to bring this expression into manifestation. Don't sell God short. And don't grab these things in your truth and say, you think you're the only one. That is not true. God has a people around the world. And He's working. But we need to see the church clearly. Because if you don't see the church, it has no holding power. When we see God, it has tremendous holding power. I will not deny it. I will not deny what He has done. I will give testimony. As often as we come together to do this in remembrance of Him, I will give testimony of who He is and what He has done. Glory. Any other questions that may be in your hearts tonight? Amen.